Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for being here. You are listening to PGN Prophetic Grace Network. This is the live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. I invite you to tune in on Sundays at 12 p.m. Central. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And also on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Central. That's 10 a.m. Eastern Time to our live internet broadcast of Secrets Revealed. Understand the book of Revelation from start to finish. Find out what the Word of God reveals with presentation and analysis of Bible prophecies with me, Dr. Nicole, your book of Revelation research scientist. We are going from start to finish with all the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation this year, 2023. It is Sunday, January 8th of 2023. And today, we'll be talking about the seven seals prophecy in the book of Revelation. What does the Bible prophesy about the end times? Let's get right to it. The book of Revelation has 12 statements of prophecy by my analysis. These statements of prophecy begin with chapter 5 and end with chapter 22. The first statement of prophecy is the seven seals prophecy. Its geography is such. Number one, it includes a movie trailer in words. Number two, it includes a movie in words in its entirety. Every statement in the book of Revelation, every statement of prophecy, I mean to say, in the book of Revelation has two parts. It begins with what professional writers call an abstract, essentially a movie trailer in words. Then, immediately following its abstract, the statement of prophecy has an entire documentary in words, if you will, an entire movie in words that further explains, that further presents that statement of prophecy. So what does that look like? For the seven seals prophecy, it begins with its own movie trailer in words, its own abstract. Chapter 5 in its entirety is the movie trailer in words for the seven seals prophecy. Let's hear it now, reading from the New Living Translation. The seven seals abstract says, "Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals." Let's pause there. So in the very first verse of the seven seals prophecy, we hear that John the Revelator, who is speaking to us, the readers of the book of Revelation, John, who has been caught up to heaven. Now, how do we know that John's been caught up to heaven? In chapter 4 of the book of Revelation is John's report on heaven. John is instructed to come up hither, and hither is heaven. When he arrives in heaven, he gives us a description of what he sees, a fantastic description of what he literally sees in heaven. That's chapter 4 in its entirety. So immediately following chapter 4 is the seven seals prophecy. And so here we are in verse 1, the first verse following John's complete report on what he saw in heaven. And he tells us, now that he is in heaven, that he sees a scroll, and that this scroll is in the hand of, quote unquote, the one. The one is God the Father, who is sitting on a throne. And on this scroll that John the Revelator sees, is writing on the inside as well as writing on the outside. So the scroll has writing on its inside and writing on its inside, and it's sealed. So this document, this scroll, has specifically seven seals. Let's continue with verse 2. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it?" Let's pause there. Now we hear that John sees an angel, and that this angel is a strong angel, and the angel engages in a specific action, which is to shout. And the angel says, in a shout, a question. And that question is, who is worthy to break the seals on this scroll and open it? So there's a question about who can break the seals and who can open the scroll. And in verse 3, continuing, it says, verse 3 of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation, we're in the seven seals prophecy, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. In this third verse, we hear that an entire survey of what appears to be the universe was made in an attempt to identify a worthy being to open the scroll and read it. And so where was their look? Heaven was surveyed. The earth was surveyed. And under the earth was surveyed in an attempt to find one worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it. So apparently what this means is that there are sentient beings who have the ability, if they are worthy, to open the scroll, to break the seals and open it, and that these sentient beings exist in three locations. That's interesting, right? So they're sentient beings in heaven, they're sentient beings on earth, they're sentient beings under the earth. Now that makes sense. Who's in heaven? Who are the sentient beings in heaven? Well, of course, there's God the Father and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, but also every disembodied spirit who died in Christ is in heaven. These are individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They have perfect continuity of life. The same soul, the same mind, will, and emotions, the same spirit. God's perfect will is for every person to be three in one, to live in an immortal body on this present earth and the new earth to come. In the interim period, during this age, before we get to the new earth, when a person dies in Christ, the person continues perfect continuity of life, but as a disembodied spirit in a heavenly body only in heaven. So we see that there's a look, there's a survey to see, is there a sentient being in heaven worthy to open the scroll? Then, of course, there's a survey to see, is there a worthy person on the earth? So you and I and others live here on the earth. But no person on the earth, as John lived on the earth at that time, was found worthy. And then also looked, it says, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth. Let's talk about that for a second. Why would there be a look under the earth? When a human being falls asleep, in other words, when a human being experiences what the Bible refers to as death, I'm going to put in front of that word first death, because the Bible says there's the second death. And so if there's a second death, that means there has to be a first death. So that's falling asleep, experiencing the normal death that happens during this age when a person reaches a certain age or has an accident or suffers from an illness, if that person dies and is not in Christ, in other words, the person failed to find or failed to find and follow God's plan for salvation, that means that the person is experiencing life, perfect continuity of life, the same soul. So your mind, will, and emotions continue beyond the mortal body that you are in. And if you should die before the second coming of Jesus Christ, either you go to heaven as a disembodied spirit or you go to Hades. All disembodied spirits whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life reside under the earth. So here it says in verse 3, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. So again, where are there sentient beings? There are sentient beings in heaven. There are sentient beings on earth. And there are sentient beings under the earth. Let me define that word for us. When I looked that up, sentient, what does that mean? So sentient is defined. Sentient is defined as able to perceive things, able to perceive or feel things. And also it says at Merriam-Webster.com, a sentient being is one who perceives and responds to sensations of whatever kind, sight, hearing, touch, taste, or smell. Let's continue with our analysis of the seven seals prophecy. In verse 4, after verse 3, which says, but no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Verse 4 says, then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. So John the Revelator is in heaven, and after this look to find one who is worthy to break the seven seals and therefore open the scroll, he experienced bitterness to the point that he started to weep. And this distress, this emotional distress, these negative emotions emerged because the scroll, for some reason, the scroll was so important in the mind, in the heart of John the Revelator at that time, that it was important for it to be able to be opened. And when no one was found worthy, no one in heaven, no one on the earth, and no one under the earth, all the places that one can look to find a sentient being, he began to weep bitterly. Let's continue with verse 5. But one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Let's pause there. It began, verse 5, with, but one of the 24 elders said to me. Who are these 24 elders? So we're told in John's report on heaven, which is chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, we're told that when he's caught up to heaven, he sees God sitting on the throne. And in addition, in verse 4 of chapter 4, about these 24 elders, it says, 24 thrones surrounded him, talking about God the Father who's sitting on a throne. It says, 24 thrones surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white, and had gold crowns on their heads. And so sitting in heaven are 24 elders. Each of these elders has an individual throne. And on these thrones, each elder sits. Each of the elders is clothed in a specific type of garment, which is white, and all four of the 24 elders wear a gold crown on their heads. So who are these 24 elders? They're 24 individuals that reside in heaven, and these sentient beings are there with God the Father, and each sits on a throne. Let's continue. So it says in verse 5, but one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. So John the Revelator is in heaven, and after the survey's been done to find someone either in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, to find someone worthy to break open the seven seals, one of these 24 elders, we're not told which one, but one of the 24 elders sitting on a throne, wearing a white garment and with a crown on the elder's head, says to John, stop weeping. So he's given that instruction to stop weeping. And then that same elder says to John the Revelator, look. So he's instructed to look in a specific location. Okay, we're going to find out that location. Else does the elder say? The elder says, quote, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. So John the Revelator is told that Jesus Christ, the lion of the tribe of Judah, has won the victory. What's the victory? The victory was obtained when Jesus Christ died on the cross. He obtained the keys to both hell and the grave. He overcame death. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, it was said, it is finished. And so here, one of the 24 elders says, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah. Let's pause there. So Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. The Bible tells us, I believe it's in 1 Timothy, great is the mystery of the Godhead. And Jesus Christ has multiple roles. One role, he already served in this role, was to come as the Lamb of God. And as the Lamb of God, he won the victory. He was sacrificed on the cross for the remission of our sins. So when we are baptized in his name, that's payment for our sin debt. When he shed his innocent blood, that was a sacrifice as the Lamb of God. That was the first time that he came. So Jesus Christ served in the role as Lamb of God, and he won the victory. However, at his second coming, he's returning as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So it's correct to refer to Jesus Christ as both the Lamb of God and the Lion of the tribe of Judah, because he is, in fact, both. And we'll hear in this seven seals prophecy, Jesus Christ referred to as both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and as the Lamb of God. So the elder says to John the Revelator, stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Now, why does it say the heir to David's throne? When Jesus Christ returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he returns and There's the marriage of the Lamb, that's the first resurrection. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb, that's the battle of Armageddon. And there's the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ. And we're told in Isaiah chapter 9, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And we're told before that, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. So what does this mean? Israel as a nation will never ever fail to exist beyond this time. So Israel was supernaturally reestablished in 1948. And in the prophetic timeline, the next key event is the confirmation of the covenant, where the 10th red heifer, following the confirmation of the covenant and the rebuilding of the third temple, the 10th red heifer, its ashes will be burned as a sacrifice. And when Jesus Christ returns, when the Messiah returns, he will serve on the throne in Israel. Jerusalem will be his headquarters. So the throne of David will continue with Jesus Christ serving on that throne on this present earth when he returns as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the elder correctly asserts, he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the Lamb of God. He is Jesus Christ. Has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. So Jesus Christ never, ever committed a singular sin. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let's continue. Verse 6 of chapter 5 in the seven seals prophecy says, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. It was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth." That's verse 6. Notice we moved from talking about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and the elder instructing John the Revelator, look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. Now, where specifically is John the Revelator supposed to look? And what is he looking at? We hear it in verse 6. It says, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered." So this is perfect continuity. He's told that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory, and he's supposed to look at the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And when he looks, what he sees is a lamb that looks as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing. So when Jesus Christ, as the Lamb of God, died on the cross, it appeared that he died. But in fact, we know that 3 days later, he rose from the dead in his perfected, glorified body, and he ascended to heaven. And so Jesus Christ now stands in heaven. He is at the right hand of the Father. And so we hear in verse 6, but it, what's it? The Lamb of God. Who is the Lamb of God? The Lamb of God is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. But it, talking about the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, was now standing. So this tells us about Jesus Christ. It was now standing between the throne and the four living beings, and among the 24 elders. Let's pause there for a second. All of a sudden, we hear about four living beings, and there's a throne. Now, what is the throne? So we're told in Revelation chapter 4 that God the Father sits on the throne. Also, in John's report on heaven, again in Revelation chapter 4, we're told that 24 elders sitting on their own thrones surround God the Father sitting on his throne. In addition, in John's report on heaven, we heard about four living beings. Let's go back so we can find out in Revelation 4 more about these four living beings, because now here in this first statement of prophecy, in the movie trailer in words, it says, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders." So Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, is in heaven standing between the throne of God the Father and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. So we have God the Father in heaven. We have the 24 elders in heaven. And we also have four living beings. Let's find out a little bit more about these four living beings. So going to Revelation chapter 4, which is John's report on heaven, it says in verses 6 and 7, "In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass, sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes, front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion, the second like an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they keep on saying, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come.' Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, 'You are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased.'" So that's part of chapter 4. So what John shares with us in his report on heaven is that these four living beings and the 24 elders are living in a way where their activities connect to each other. And the activities of both the 24 elders and the four living beings involves worshiping the one who sits on the throne, worshiping God the Father in heaven. And how they worship him includes singing. They're singing and they're saying words, sharing that holy, holy is the Lord God. And the 24 elders actually put their crowns before the throne. And they share words. So these four living beings are saying in heaven over and over again, holy, holy is the Lord God. Now, let's go back to these four living beings. And this is just incredible. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We're told that one was like a lion, a second one was like an ox, a third one had a human face, And the fourth was like an eagle. All four of these living beings have wings. So these are four living beings that have wings, specifically six wings. Now, it's hard for me to imagine what that looks like. You know, when I think of how angels have been depicted, I see two wings. But this doesn't say an angel. This says four living beings and that they have six wings. And it says that their wings are covered with eyes, with an S. So they have eyes. These wings have eyes inside of the wings and outside of the wings. Now, I want to go briefly to some other translations, because maybe you say, well, I'm not clear on what these beings are. Can you share more about these beings? And my answer to that question is yes. So I want to share from a couple of translations how it describes these living beings in Revelation 4, verse 6. So the NIV says, in the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. When we go to the King James Bible for Revelation 4, verse 6, it says in part, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. So in the King James Bible, it refers to these four living beings as four beasts. In the New King James Version, it says, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. So now we're back to the word creatures. The Amplified Bible says, and in the front of the throne, I'm sorry, let me go back. In the Amplified Bible, it says, in the center and around the throne were four living creatures who were full of eyes in front and behind, seeing everything and knowing everything that is around them. Finally, let me share one other translation in case it's of interest to you and it's helpful. Let's see. I think some people like maybe the new, let me go to the NET Bible. It says, in the middle of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. So when we look at multiple translations, we never hear in any of the translations that I've shared with you, and I've looked at some others too, just due to time constraints, I won't read all the translations here. But I'm at BibleHub.com, a fantastic site where you can see different translations of the same scripture on the same page. That's very useful. In each of these translations, we hear that these living creatures or living beings or beasts, that they have eyes in front and behind. So we hear that repeatedly. We hear over and over that there are four of them. Interestingly, they're never referred to as angels, not in any of the translations. So does that mean that they are not angels? I don't know. I don't know. I do know that the word angel is used often in the New Living Translation of the Bible, in the King James Version of the Bible. So for some reason, these four living beings are not described as angels. Now, they're different kinds of angels, right? But again, they're not described as a specific type of angel or as an angel. They're described either as creatures, living beings, or beasts. Okay, so there are four of them. They have a very interesting look. They are sentient beings. And they are a part of God's wonderful creation. They worship God. They act in accord with the activities, the godly activities being conducted in heaven. They worship the Lord, and then the 24 elders worship the Lord, and it goes back and forth like that. Okay, so just wanted to share a little bit. Let's go back to the Seven Seals prophecy. We explored part of Revelation chapter 4 so we could understand this verse. Verse 6 in the seven seals prophecy says in part, "Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders." So let's pause there. Now we have a strong foundation for understanding this sentence. So a lamb, that lamb is Jesus Christ. It looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing. It appeared that Jesus Christ died when he was on the cross, but in fact, he is now standing in heaven. And he was standing in heaven when John the Revelator was called to come up hither, which was to heaven. He was caught up in heaven, and he shone 12 statements of prophecy. We're in the very first vision that John was shown. These visions are statements of prophecy, and he sees in what is a literal documentary. He's shown curated pictures of actual events, and he's shown standing in heaven Jesus Christ, who is standing, and who else is with the lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, standing with the lamb in heaven between the throne that God the Father sits on are these four living beings. They have different looks, but each of these beings is sentient and has six wings. And in addition to Jesus Christ standing in heaven where God the Father sits on the throne are the 24 elders. So picture this. We're given a picture here. In heaven, God the Father is sitting on his throne. John the Revelator's there. 24 elders are sitting on their thrones surrounding God's thrones. And also, there are four living beings. Now, let's continue. Still in verse 6, but a new sentence, it says, he had, who's he? The Lamb. So we're told, I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered. And before that, John the Revelator was told, look, the lion of the tribe of Judah has won the victory. Then when he looks, he sees the lamb. And now it says he, talking about the lion of the tribe of Judah, talking about the lamb that had been slaughtered, it says he had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold Spirit of God that is sent out into every part of the earth. We are in the seven seals prophecy, but briefly, this sentence is so rich. Great is the mystery of the Godhead. So in Jesus Christ, in the Godhead, there's God the Father. There's Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit who dwells on the earth. And it tells us right here that the Holy Spirit is sevenfold, the sevenfold Spirit of God, and it's sent out into every part of the earth. And if you are a believer who has found and followed God's plan for salvation, the Holy Spirit dwells in you as you live on this earth. So he's being shown a picture, John the Revelator, of Jesus Christ as both the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the sevenfold Spirit of God and the Lamb. And in fact, great is the mystery of the Godhead, and he is all of those things. Let's continue. Verse 7 of chapter 5 in the seven seals prophecy, it says, he stepped forward. Who's he? He is Jesus Christ. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the heir to David's throne. He is the sevenfold Spirit of God, it says he stepped forward. So Jesus Christ steps forward in heaven and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. So God the Father is holding the scroll. We are told in verse 1 of chapter 5, God the Father is holding the scroll in his right hand. And now the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, the sevenfold Holy Spirit steps forward, literally in heaven, and he steps forward and he takes this scroll that has the seven seals. Who does he take it from? He takes it from God the Father. He takes it from God the Father's right hand. And we're told again, the one sitting on the throne, that's God the Father, he takes the scroll from God. Then what happens? Verse 8 says, and when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now let's pause there. Why are the four living beings and the 24 elders falling down before the Lamb? Because the Lamb is Jesus Christ. Every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. So I am daughter, I am niece, I am cousin, yet I'm one person, right? I'm one person. God the Father is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and Jesus Christ is the sevenfold Holy Spirit. Great is the mystery of the Godhead. Let's continue. Again, it says in verse 8, and when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Let's pause there. So we have 28 beings total in addition to God the Father. So we have the 24 elders, and we have these four living beings that each has six wings. So all 28 of these individuals have a musical instrument, which is a harp, and each of these 28 individuals has a gold bowl filled with incense. So the four living beings are there. The 24 elders are sitting on their thrones. All 28 have two things that they are holding. Now, are they holding more than two things? Maybe. I don't know. We're told they have at least these two things that they're holding. One is a musical instrument, which is a harp. And the second thing is a gold bowl. And in that gold bowl is incense. And we're told that the incense are the prayers of God's people. I want to pause there for a second. In an earlier program in this month, I shared some about this. Due to time constraints, I won't say everything I said, but if you haven't had a chance to listen to any of our previous shows on the Seven Seals Prophecy, I encourage you to go to the archive. But I want to say right now, there are ways to experience a stimulus. So we have touch, we have taste, we have sight, we have smell, we have hearing. Those are five ways to experience some stimulus. So when we think of incense, we understand that that is something that smells good. And when we think of prayers, we understand that a prayer, when we pray aright, that sounds good. We understand that prayers are experienced as sound. But incredibly, incredibly, we're told that beyond what we experience as humans, prayer as sound, that God experiences your prayers, the prayers of God's people. I believe that you are, that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you are a truth seeker and you have found and followed God's plan for salvation, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are among God's people. And we're told that incredibly, God experiences the prayers of his people in a more complete way than what you or I experience. So when I hear you praying, I hear that. I hear it. But God perceives your prayer not only with sound, but also with scent. He smells your prayer as if it was incense. Now, you might say, that doesn't make sense to me. I think it's a metaphor. I don't think it's a metaphor. I think the Bible says exactly what is true, and what God is saying is that what we're told, what John the Revelator is shown, is that God experiences your prayers in a more full and complete way than what you and I in our perishable, corruptible bodies can experience at this time. Now, perhaps when we're in our glorified bodies, we'll experience the prayers of God's people that way too. But in any case, we're told right here that the prayers of God's people are held in golden bowls in heaven, and that they are incense. They have scent, a pleasant smell, a pleasant aroma, and that these 28 beings, 24 elders and the four creatures, the four living beings, they're holding our prayers. Whose prayers? The prayers of God's people. Let's continue. Verse 9 says, and they sang a new song with these words. Now, who is they? They are the 28 sentient beings, the 24 elders and the four living creatures. Now, what are the words to the songs? Here they are. Reading from the New Living Translation, we're still in verse 9. Here are the words of the song that they are singing in heaven, where God the Father sits on the throne and where the Lamb of God is standing. So they say, after bowing down before the Lamb, they sing these words to the Lamb. You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth. Now let's pause there for a second. I shared with you earlier that all of chapter 5 of the book of Revelation is the movie trailer in words for the seven seals prophecy. Now, with verses 9 and 10, specifically verse 10, we have gone fast forward. We have fast forwarded in time. We have gone beyond Jesus dying on the cross and all the way to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, ruling and reigning on the earth. It happens so fast. One of the things that's so important to understand in the book of Revelation is where you are and when you are. So here, where we are is in the movie trailer. So in the movie trailer, you have a lot of cut scenes, right? You have to cut out events, and you show the key parts that you, as the director, want to make sure that the viewer knows before seeing the full movie in its entirety. And so here, after being told that Jesus Christ was slaughtered and that the blood of Jesus Christ has ransomed people for God, let's get a definition of that word. What does ransom mean? what's so fantastic about the blood of Jesus Christ? You know, before I was saved, and I would hear one of my friends, his mom, one time she came to visit. She came from Kentucky. Her name is Betty Long, and I just love her. And she was saying, this is before I got way before I got saved, and she kept saying, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood. And she would say that word, and she was fantastic, and I loved her, but I just thought, she sounds nuts. That's what I thought. I literally thought that. I was like, why does she keep saying the blood? This is gruesome. I did not understand why she was saying what she was saying, but I knew that she believed it. I knew that she was filled with the love of God. I knew that she had the peace of God, but I had not yet found, though I was a truth seeker, I had not yet found the truth. I had not yet found that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. As a truth seeker, I was on my way to finding, but I had not yet found that Jesus Christ had obtained the release of prisoners by making demanded payment. So the dictionary defines ransomed as obtained the release of a prisoner by making a payment demanded. You are a prisoner. I am a prisoner. What are we prisoners of? We're prisoners of this mortal body. We're prisoners of this mortal body that is doomed to decay and die unless and until we find and follow God's plan for salvation. The Bible said that the wages of sin is death. We have all sinned and fallen short. You say, well, I think I'm a good person. I don't think so. You say, I'm pretty good. I've never killed anyone. I don't think you're a good person. I don't think I'm a good person. Now, I'm not trying to insult you. But none is good. Only Jesus Christ is good. All have fallen short. No person ever kept all 10 commandments. The purpose of the law was to show us that we need a Savior. The purpose of the law, the Ten Commandments, is to show us that we actually have inherited a sin nature from Adam. That unless and until we're restored to sonship through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're in the image of Adam. We're sons of Adam, sons and daughters of Adam. But you and I and every truth seeker has been ransomed. We've been released from the prison of mortality by Jesus Christ making the demanded payment. It said the wages of sin is death. He paid that. He died on the cross, although he was sinless. So what does it all mean? What does it all mean? It means that his blood paid for you and I to be restored to sonship and daughtership. It says, your blood has ransomed people for God. And importantly, it tells us from every tribe and language and people and nation. The fullness of the Gentiles has not yet come in. Every tribe and language and people and nation will hear the word of God. Before it's all over, what's all over mean? Before the end of the age, before we transition from this present earth to the new earth, every tribe and language and people and nation will hear the word of God. Now, let's hear verse 10. So we know all that. Where did we fast forward in time in this movie trailer? It happens in verse 10. Verse 10 says, and you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God. Well, when are we a kingdom of priests? So the Bible says we should pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, when will it be done on earth as it is presently done in heaven? Upon the second return of Jesus Christ after the marriage of the Lamb, after the marriage supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ puts down the governments of God and establishes the government of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God on this earth, on this present earth, this earth where you and I sit or stand right now. So after the marriage of the Lamb, that's the first resurrection, when you will put on immortality, you'll put on your peak performance body, a body free of DNA errors, an incorruptible body, a glorified body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're told that Jesus Christ, when he returns, he comes back and he brings with him all of the believers who died in Christ. Their bodies rise from the grave, and they, as souls and spirits, so they're two in one right now. So in heaven, they're in a heavenly body, but they're two in one in the sense that they are disembodied spirits. Disembodied meaning they do not have their tangible physical body. The old tent that they were in is in the grave. It has decayed beyond recognition for most people. Nonetheless, God in his omnipotence, in his power, he's going to give them the best version of that body that ever was or will be. It will be a body that never, ever dies. It will be a body that can run like a wind. It'll be a body that has all 10 toes and 10 fingers, a body that has perfect vision, a body that's free of cancer, a body that's free of mental distress and torment, a body that will never, ever die. Truth seeker, we're told that we're to seek after the immortality that Jesus Christ has promised. You ought to want to be immortal. I ought to want to be immortal because that's God's best for you. Now, not everyone wants to cooperate with God. You can say, I reject the opportunity to be immortal, three in one on the present earth and the new earth to come. Or you can say, yes, Lord, I want what you have promised. Your blood ransomed me for God. As the mediator, you put me in right standing with God. I will find, I have found your plan for salvation, and I will follow it, or I have followed it. And so here in verse 10, it says, and they will reign on the earth. When does that happen? It happens after the Battle of Armageddon, that's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will rule and reign on this present earth. Who's we? All members of the royal race, all individuals whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the sheep, the wheat, the good fish. I'm just using language from the parables in Matthew. That's when we reign on earth. So here's the point. Now when we're going to continue in this movie trailer, we've moved beyond Jesus dying on the cross, and now we're 2,000 years later. Now it's 2023. We moved beyond 23. We moved beyond the rebuilding of the Second Temple. We moved beyond the Battle of Armageddon, and now we are at the point where we're in the millennial reign. We're in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. It says they will reign on the earth. When does that happen? After the Battle of Armageddon, when Jesus Christ puts down the throne of men and establishes his government on the earth. Let's continue. Verse 11 says, then I looked again, and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. Okay. Now, again, we are beyond the present day. We're beyond the second coming because we're in this movie trailer. And so in the movie trailer, some scenes have been cut out. We haven't seen the full movie in its entirety, which starts which starts with verse 1 of chapter 6 and ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. But in this movie trailer for the Seven Seals prophecy, now it says, John the Revelator looks again, and before we're told what he sees, we're told what he hears. He looks again, so he's continuing in time, and he hears the voices of thousands and millions of angels. So he hears millions of voices, and these are the voices of angels, of living beings, and elders. So we're not told how many living beings. So in the beginning of this, we're told about the four living beings. But now that we fast forward in time, we're not told, are they just the four living beings? Are there more of them? Because now when he's looking in a future, at a future time. And in this future time, there are millions of angels and their living beings and their elders, and they're all around the throne. So millions of sentient beings, including elders, including angels, and including living beings. Let's continue with verse 12. So what do these millions of sentient beings say? What do these millions of individuals say? They're individual angels, individual elders, individual living beings. They're singing, and here's what they say in verse 12. It says, and they sang in a mighty chorus, worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. So in the future, they are continuing to worship Jesus Christ, who came as the Lamb of God. Let's continue with verse 13. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. They sang. Let's pause there. Now, earlier, we're told that John was looking for a sentient being. There was, I don't know if John was looking or somehow there was a survey. There was a look by someone to see where can we find a person, a being who's worthy to break open the scroll, to break open these seven seals. And where the look was done was in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So now we're back to this language, and we're told that there are creatures, and that there are creatures in heaven, there are creatures on earth, and under the earth. Okay, so we've heard that before, but now we also hear, and in the sea, and in the sea. So these four locations, now what do these creatures say? It doesn't say they're angels. It doesn't say they are human beings. It doesn't say they're members of the royal race. It doesn't say priests. It doesn't say cherubim or seraphim. It says, I heard every creature. So every creature means every creature. Let's get a definition for creature. Very briefly, and let's hear what they say. So creature is defined as an animal as distinct from a human being. Another definition says an animal or person. Okay, let me go to, so Merriam-Webster gives a few definitions. It says something created either animate or inanimate, such as a lower animal, a human being, a being of anomalous or uncertain aspect or nature. I went to the definition in an attempt to find clarity. I'm not sure that we got it there. But nevertheless, every creature in four locations, in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and now in the sea, are singing. So we've moved beyond the second coming of Christ. And we know we're at least at the point where all members of the royal race, we have received our glorified bodies. We're ruling and reigning on earth. So now what happens? In these four locations, every creature is singing, and here's what they sing. It says in verse 13, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now, why do they say this? The one sitting on the throne, who's the one sitting on the throne? God the Father. And to the Lamb forever and ever. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb is Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. So God in his glorified, perfected human body is Jesus Christ. God can do that. He can decide to be in multiple forms. Right? You can decide that in addition to being a daughter or son, that you'll also be a husband or wife. God has decided that in addition to being God the Father, in whatever form that looks like, that he will also take the form of a human being. And so he is also Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh. And so it says, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then in verse 14, the last verse, it says, and the four living beings said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. And so these four living beings, the ones that have six wings, they say Amen, which means so be it. And also the 24 elders who sit on their own thrones wearing gold crowns and in white outfits, they fall down and worship the Lamb. So what do we have here? This is the movie trailer in words for the Seven Seals prophecy. So we have moved to what is the culmination of the movie? What is the take-home point? How does it all end? So when we continue, we're going to hear the movie in its entirety, the full report of the Seven Seals prophecy versus chapters. Let me say it this way. It begins with verse 1 of chapter 6 and ends with verse 1 of chapter 8. That's the full report, the full movie in its entirety, if you will, for the Seven Seals prophecy. But in this movie trailer, where God has given us the highlights, the summary, what's most important from his perspective for us to know, he gave this to John the Revelator as a vision. He says the culmination of it all, the take-home point of it all, is that every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life was ransomed, and they become members of the royal race, and they serve in the kingdom of God on this earth, and as they rule and reign on the earth, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to both God the Father and to Jesus Christ forever and ever. And we're told in the Bible that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And so when is that going to happen? We're told here when it's going to happen. In verse 13, it says, and then I heard every creature. Now, every creature doesn't mean some creatures or only the creatures in heaven or only the creatures that are in Jerusalem or only the creatures on earth. It says every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea says blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. So today, do we hear every creature confessing or saying or singing that blessing and honor and glory belong to the Lamb of God? Certainly not. Certainly not. But there's coming a day when every creature in heaven, on earth, under the earth, and in the sea will declare, will in fact sing that blessing and honor and glory in fact belong to the Lamb of God and to God the Father. And it's not for today. It's not just for 2023 or 2058 or 100 years or 400 years, but forever and ever. And so when we go to the Seven Seals prophecy, we're going to see prophecy that happens over a significant period of time. But the take-home point is at the end, there's the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ. And beyond every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, ruling and reigning, beyond us, meaning the sheep, the wheat, the good fish, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ here on this present earth and on the new earth to come. The day will come when every creature is going to say and, in fact, sing, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the Lamb forever and ever. So that day is coming, friend. That gives us, me and you, something to look forward to. I want to give you a brief overview of what is coming up for us. So in the month of January, on every program, I will be fast-forwarding. I will be continuing our discussion and analysis of the Seven Seals prophecy. So today we have heard the movie trailer in words in its entirety for the Seven Seals prophecy. I also want to read the Seven Seals prophecy, the full report, today. Due to time constraints, we will not have the opportunity to do our verse-by-verse analysis of the full movie today. However, we have done verse-by-verse a complete analysis of the movie trailer, and we will do a complete analysis of the full report, verses 1 of chapter 6 to verse 1 of chapter 8. But let's begin with hearing the full report, the movie trailer, the movie, beyond the movie trailer, the movie in its entirety of the Seven Seals prophecy. Here it is in the book of Revelation, verse 1 of chapter 6 to verse 1 of chapter 8 says, "As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say, with a voice like thunder, 'Come.' I looked up and saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on his head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, 'Come.' Another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth. And there was war and slaughter everywhere. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the third living being say, 'Come.' I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, 'A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay. And don't waste the olive oil and wine.' When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, 'Come.' I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with the sword and famine and disease and wild animals. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of all who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. They shouted to the Lord and said, 'O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they have done to us?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, who were to be martyred, had joined them. I watched as the Lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became as red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like green figs falling from a tree, shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were moved from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person, all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive?" Then I saw four angels sitting at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds, so they did not blow on the earth or the sea or even on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, "Wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants." And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel, from Judah, 12,000, from Reuben, 12,000, from Gad, 12,000, from Asher, 12,000, from Naphtali, 12,000, from Manasseh, 12,000, from Simeon, 12,000, from Levi, 12,000, from Issachar, 12,000, from Zebulun, 12,000, from Joseph, 12,000, from Benjamin, 12,000. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands. And they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God, who sits on the throne, and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings. And they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the 24 elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water. And God will wipe every tear from their eyes." When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. That is the Seven Seals movie, the Seven Seals full report, the statement of prophecy, a documentary of events that are sure to come. What's coming up for us? We're going to continue our discussion and analysis of the Seven Seals prophecy, going verse by verse to analyze the movie in its entirety. I don't know if you heard it. I don't know if you caught this, but notice that it ends. It ends with Revelation chapter 21. It ends with telling us about how God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Now, where's that? That's in the New Earth prophecy. That's in the New Earth prophecy, Revelation chapter 21 and 22. So, friend, I want to invite you to be with us as we go from start to finish with all of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. And I want to end with encouraging you and encouraging me with the Word of God. What does the Bible say about the book of Revelation and its importance? Why should you give time? Why should I give time to hearing the book of Revelation and seeking to have those secrets revealed to us, what the Word of God says? Here's what Jesus and John tell us. The book of Revelation has a formal conclusion. It begins with verse 6 of chapter 22. And it ends with verse 21. I want you to hear what John and Jesus Christ, in the words of Jesus Christ and John the Revelator, this is what they tell us about the book of Revelation and the second coming. Reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "Then the angel said to me, 'Everything you have heard and seen is trustworthy and true. The Lord God, who inspires his prophets, has sent his angel to tell his servants what will happen soon. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed them to me. But he said, 'No, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers, the prophets, as well as all who obey what is written in this book. Worship only God.' Then he instructed me, 'Do not seal up the prophetic words in this book, for the time is near. Let the one who is doing harm continue to do harm. Let the one who is vile continue to be vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously. Let the one who is holy continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshipers, and all who love to live a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to his throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' Let anyone who hears this say, 'Come.' Let anyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. He who is the faithful witness to all these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people." So, friend, I want to thank you for being with me and being with us. This year, we are talking about the Seven Seals Prophecy Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Central Time, and next Sunday again, live here on PGN. We'll be talking about the Seven Seals Prophecy for the month of January every Thursday morning and every Sunday afternoon. In February, we'll be going to the Seven Trumpets Prophecy. In March, let me back up, the Seven Trumpets Prophecy focuses on many things, including World War III, as well as the Battle of Armageddon. When we get to the movie of the Seven Seals Prophecy, we'll be talking about the four horses and the 144,000. Then in February, we'll talk about World War III and the Battle of Armageddon with the Seven Trumpets Prophecy. In March, we'll talk about what specifically is going to happen to Israel during the Great Tribulation. And in April, we're talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. That's the fourth prophecy in the book of Revelation, the fourth statement of prophecy. In May, we'll talk specifically about the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. Who are these 144,000 and what is going to happen to them? So they're mentioned in the Seven Seals prophecy, and we're told how they get the seal of God placed on their foreheads, but what else? There's a whole statement of prophecy. We'll hear that in May. We'll discuss and analyze that in June. God will unlock secrets for us about the earth reaped prophecy. If you're interested in the first resurrection, the marriage of the Lamb, what happens? What happens when the wheat are separated from the tares? In July, we'll talk about the seven plagues, the wrath of God mentioned in the Seven Seals prophecy with that sixth seal, the seven plagues. We'll talk about that and how it culminates with the Battle of Armageddon. It includes but is not limited to that. In August, are you interested in Mystery Babylon? Who is the harlot church? And why does God tell us to come out from among her so that we will not partake in her plagues? We're going to talk about it here. The harlot church, Mystery Babylon, it's all revealed in the Purple and Scarlet Prophecy. In August, in September, we'll be talking exclusively about the Battle of Armageddon, the Marriage Supper Prophecy. In October, we'll be talking about the Millennial Reign Prophecy. Have you ever wondered, what's the first thing that happens when Jesus Christ establishes his government? We're told in the Millennial Reign Prophecy, he appoints judges, and they begin to judge. We're going to talk about that and other information in the Millennial Reign Prophecy, how an angel gets into hand-to-hand combat with Satan, how Satan is destroyed. We're going to talk about that in October, the Millennial Reign Prophecy. We're going from start to finish with all the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. We'll end with the dead judged prophecy in November. In November, we're talking about the great white throne judgment and what's going to happen when those books are open and every person who's among the tares, the bad fish, the goats, every person who failed to follow God's plan for salvation, what happens to those individuals at the great white throne judgment with the dead judge prophecy? And finally, in December, we will hear about the new earth and what it will look like when you and I live on this new earth with God the Father, who's relocating. He's relocating heaven to the new earth, and he's going to merge a city that has already been rebuilt. That city's going to descend from heaven. He's going to merge it onto this new earth. And there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief, no more death, and we will be in eternity future. That's after the end of the world. That's after the end of the age. In December, we're going to be talking about that in detail. We're going to hear the new earth prophecy. We're going to go deep, getting as many secrets as God reveals from the book of Revelation. Thank you so much for being with me and with us. And according to Jeremiah 33:3, call out to God, and he will show you great and mighty secrets that you do not know.